Palestine Report on Sabah al-Muslim with Mawlana Ibrahim Musa.
Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hope you had a good Ramadan and fantastic Eid.
Definitely, ma. Jazakallah khairan wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So, tell us about the Palestinian reaction to the Iran-Israel boil over.
So when we talk about the Palestinian reaction, Mawlana, there would not be one single Palestinian reaction. Palestinian society is diverse as any other society. But it's interesting to see the responses, particularly from Gaza. And when we see some of these responses in Gaza, we need to look at it through the prism of the abandonment that people in Gaza have felt, the sense of abandonment in the wake of the Israeli genocide. So there's some reactions from the ground in Gaza where people are saying that we are hopeful that if Iran or any other country enters this war, this would bring a solution quicker for Gaza. And there had been footage circulated from Gaza. Whether it's a small group or whether it's a larger group, but there were some people within Gaza who were chanting and celebrating as they saw these rockets these missiles in the sky over Israeli-controlled territory. And one Palestinian from Gaza saying, whoever decides to attack Israel and dares to attack Israel at the time when the whole world attacks in its service is a hero in the eyes of the Palestinians, regardless of whether we share their ideology or not. Hamas defended the Iranian attack, saying that it was a natural right and a deserved response, but obviously in response to the strike on the Iranian consulate and not necessarily specifically in assistance to the people of Gaza. But then you've got reactions from the other end of the spectrum where people are saying, this is merely an attempt by Iran to preserve its dignity, its theater, and a sentiment that's not only heard in Iran, not only heard in Palestine, but all over the world, saying that this assault was coordinated, and there is evidence of that, coordinated with the United States in order to cause no harm, pointing to the many hours it took for the Iranian drones to get close to the Israelis and giving the Israelis plenty of time to shoot them down. But I think at the end of all of this, we should not be distracted. And as one Palestinian displaced in Rafah said, Iran's attack on Israel is not really our business. The only thing that we care about is going back to our home. So it's those real day-to-day struggles that Palestinians in Gaza are facing that are much more magnified, or should be much more magnified than perhaps theater regarding state interests and geopolitical interests that obviously underpin what is going on now between the Israelis and the Iranians.
What are the assessments of Israeli failure becoming mainstream?
This is just so pronounced. I've been looking at so much from Israeli sources as well as American sources, and people are speaking their minds openly on this profound sense of Israeli failure to achieve its objectives. One strain here of thought goes to American politics within the Democratic Party. We've got the Center for American Progress, which is the leading Democratic Party think tank, and the president of this think tank saying that Israel is not a democracy, Palestinians must have equal rights, and let's stop talking about the two-state solution as the only pathway to peace. Former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, after the attack on aid workers from the World Central Kitchen, she put her signature to a petition saying that at least temporarily the U.S. should stop giving Israel bombs. Elizabeth Warren, also a prominent Democratic senator, she said when you look at the textbook definition, Israeli actions constitute a genocide. The RAND Corporation security analyst Karen Soetkamp spent 10 years in U.S. intelligence agencies saying that Israel is repeating mistakes made by the West in the war on terror, and it shows contempt for the hearts and minds of Palestinians. And then we've got Dr. Tom Phillips, former British diplomat who served as the ambassador to Israel between 2006 and 2010. He wrote a piece in Haaretz asking the question, has Hamas won? And he gives a whole lot of reasons on why he believes Hamas has won just by surviving the Israeli onslaught for more than 6 months. Or longer than any other war Israel has fought, Hamas has effectively won, he says. He talks about how this has been a roadblock to further normalization. He talks about how Hamas has managed to achieve, catapulting the Palestinian cause onto an international arena much more than Mahmoud Abbas has ever done over a long period of time. And interesting phrase in his article, he says the head spinning speed of Israel's post October 7th delegitimization. So the head spinning speed of Israel's post October 7th delegitimization in the eyes of many in the world can be seen as further evidence of Israeli victory. And I can go on and on. There's more insights of a similar nature from Israeli media analysts themselves. There's the failure in Khan Yunus. So immediately as the Israelis pull out of Khan Yunus, you have Hamas de facto taking control of that particular area. And the Israeli analysts, they're saying that the Israeli public should be told the truth, that the enormous death and destruction by the Israeli army that it left behind in Gaza, alongside with quite a few losses on the Israeli side, aren't currently bringing us any closer to achieving the war's goals. So it couldn't get clearer than that from multiple sources, particularly from those even sympathetic to the Israeli cause.
And then finally, amidst the noise, we need to keep an eye on the West Bank.
Absolutely. One is the West Bank, which I'll speak about very shortly. While the entire focus now shifts for a while to Iran, Israel, is this going to escalate further? The Israeli army killed 43 Palestinians in Gaza yesterday. There was Palestinians moving from the south back to the north that were attacked. And we had the Israeli army calling up so after taking many of its battalions off the ground, while this is happening, they called up two reserve brigades once again for operations in Gaza. I didn't say specifically in Rafah, but it's possible that this mobilization for Rafah could be occurring while everybody's focused elsewhere. And then the West Bank has been extremely volatile. Israeli settlers killing two Palestinians on Friday, and then in the villages of Douma and Mughayyar, at least 600 settlers came through the village's entrance, many carrying firearms, beginning to shoot. They attacked houses, set houses on fire, and they then prevented fire trucks from entering the village for 3 hours. And the duration of these attacks have been kind of scary. 8-hour sustained attacks by settlers as Israeli soldiers sat by and watched on these particular villages. In one of the villages, 21 houses were burnt, 30 cars were burnt, 4 people were wounded with gunfire and six with stab wounds. And a reflection from Gideon Levy in Haaretz, pointing out that while war rages in Gaza, the West Bank has undergone a metamorphosis. And he lists things like so many new checkpoints that have come up, how many people have gone unemployed, a poverty crisis, olive trees, there's so many olives that have gone unpicked because lands are not accessible, about 25,000 acres of Palestinian land that have been taken over since October the 7th, new outposts, 24 Palestinian communities have been expelled in the West Bank since October the 7th, and the skyrocketing levels of arrests of Palestinians in the West Bank. Certainly that has been happening since October the 7th, but we can say particularly in the last week, this has reached unprecedented levels and it really demands much more attention.
All right, Maulana, Jazakumullah for your time. Really appreciate it.
Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.